We're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples, talking today with Dr. Ronnie Elmore from the K-State College of Veterinary Medicine. And we're talking about presidential pets, a fun topic here in the month of November, and some neat history we're learning here this morning. And I know you wanted to chat about, we got a phone call first. Okay, I might have you slip on the headphones real quick and take this call. Good morning, you're on In Focus.
Years ago at the State Fair, we were there for the birthing event, the Holstein cow. And as you said, it took some time. And visiting with the people crowding up there to get on the front row were from New York and had never seen a birthing event. And it was amazing that when the water broke, to watch them scramble over everybody trying to get off of the front row.
Yes, anyway, it is interesting.
During the Reagan years, you know, he's trying to shut down the dairy industry, and in Marion County, a lot of the dairies couldn't afford semen to refresh the herd. So we went around and bought up the young polled registered Angus bulls and $600 a piece, and took them around and just presented them to the dairy man with the papers and all. And then we didn't have to buy a mouthful of feed over the years that we left them there, and they were able to refresh the herd and save what neighborhood dairies, you know, working together as a community. There's an opportunity in large animal to look after each other, and, you know, whether they're out on the highway and get out from the fence and make sure you go get the right neighbor or whatever, it's a community. Thank you for your interest in sharing with us.
Yeah, you know, the first dairy, or the last dairy cow at the White House was Pauline Wayne, William Howard Taft's cow. And so we believe that there's been about 200 children there at the White House, about 400 animals. And most people don't realize that until Harding's time in 1921, all the presidents prior to that time were either rode horseback or rode in horse-drawn carriages to their inaugurations. And so Harding was the first one in 1921 to ride to his inauguration in a Pierce Arrow, actually, that was owned by President Wilson. And, you know, it's interesting to think about that, because whenever they rode to the White House or rode to the inauguration, of course, Wilson was very put out that he didn't win, and he was really sad about that, and he was in poor health, and all kinds of things were wrong. But Harding, and he talked about what else? Their pets on the way to the inauguration. And so it did help him a great deal to have pets.
How about Franklin Delano Roosevelt, one of our fine presidents of the 20th century? What kind of animals did he have?
Well, he had a little Scotty named Fala. That it was born in 1940, and Fala was a very famous dog. He went to with Roosevelt everywhere, and so you know, he gave the famous Fala speech when he was running for his fourth term. He's only president that's run or has been elected four times, and so a lot of people were saying, you know, you're of poor health, you need to get out, you need to see people, you need to let them know that you're physically able to do a fourth term. Well, he ended up dying a few months after that. But Fala was a famous dog. And so there's a story that Fala was left back on the Aleutian Islands one time when Franklin D. Roosevelt was up there. And so they turned around destroyers. And, you know, he said, I'm not too concerned about it. I'm not too concerned about, our family's not too concerned about it. But little Fala is a Scotch and Scotty. And so he is just furious. And so, anyway, he told that story, and that really pulled the heartstrings of people across the United States.
Wow, that's pretty cool. And, you know, another Roosevelt was president in the 20th century, and he was kind of an outdoorsman, Teddy Roosevelt.
Teddy Roosevelt, yeah. He had six children, and they all had different pets. They had snakes. They had all kinds of stuff, dogs. Algonquin was their favorite pony. And when little Archie got sick on the second floor of the White House, they said they took, his brothers took the Algonquin up the elevator to him to cheer him up. And in the Smithsonian, you can see a hoof print of Algonquin in the elevator. So, You know, yeah, they had a lot of pets.
That's unbelievable. I'm just looking at the list here. And so many, you know, dogs, ponies, pigs.
I mean, yeah, all crazy. Kinds of stuff, yeah.
Yeah. Any more interesting ones from the 20th century that you can...
Well, you know, I think about Dwight D. Eisenhower. And, of course, and I have to mention him. He's from Kansas.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, you know, the Eisenhower family was great animal lovers. They lived on the wrong side of the tracks in Abilene, of course. And he went off to war. He was a supreme commander of the Allied forces in northern Africa and Europe. And he got a little dog over there, a little Scotty named Telic, actually. And Telegraph Cottage was in just north of London. That's where he spent his off time during the war. And he said that was actually the name was contracted from Telegraph Cottage and from his Irish driver, his pretty single Irish driver, whose name was Kay Summersby. Now, Kay Summersby has written a couple of books. And so if you're interested in the war through the eyes of an Irish driver, those would be books to read. And so Telic became a very famous dog at that time. But his most famous White House dog was a Weimaraner named Heidi. And so, of course, Mamie was very, very fastidious about the carpets, and Heidi decorated the carpets several times. And so Heidi spent most of her time just riding in a chauffeured limousine back and forth between Washington, D.C. and Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, because as soon as she messed up the rug, Mamie sent her out to Gettysburg. And then as soon as the president got home, he said, "Where's my dog?" And she'd say, "Well, he's out of Gettysburg." So he'd send the chauffeur limousine back out there to get the dog. And so Heidi just spent a lot of time running up and down the road in a chauffeured limousine.
Wow. Speaking of Gettysburg, what about Abraham Lincoln?
Abraham Lincoln, he had two pets that we know about. Fido was his old brown dog, lived in Springfield, Illinois. And old Bob was his horse. And so when the president was assassinated, everybody wanted a piece of something that the president had touched. And so they nearly pulled all the mane out of the old Bob, out of old Bob and out of the tail of the horse, and they nearly pulled all the fur off of Fido. It's interesting to note that Fido was assassinated as well by a drunk in the back alley. And so not only did the president die due to a bullet wound, but Fido did as well. Fido and old Bob, I don't think, ever went to Washington, D.C., because travel during the 1860s was really difficult. And so I don't think they actually went to Washington, D.C.
Mm. Well, that's maybe a possible another trivia question there, too.
Yeah.
With that one. If people were to go to the White House these days, would they see any memorials to any of these animals?
Oh, yeah. Harding's dog, actually, Harding was an interesting character. And, you know, a lot of people didn't like him as president. He lived in Marion, Ohio, campaigned from his front porch. And so in 1921, when he was elected president, he had 1,000 little statues made of his dog and Laddie Boy. And he was an Airedale. And so the little Airedale stands about 6 inches tall, 6 inches long. He's got a Marion newspaper in his mouth, and because Harding was a newspaper owner. And so anyway, I trained my wife. We've been to many museums throughout the United States and many homes of presidents and people like that. And I said, you know, you gotta keep looking. We're going to find one of these. Well, would you know it, she came home one day, one Saturday afternoon, she said, "You got to sit down. I've got to tell you something." Now, this is after 30-some years of marriage. And so I thought, boy, she's never said that before. But I, as a dutiful husband, sat down just like she told me to, and she produced a sack. And inside that sack was Laddie Boy. You see, she found that little dog down in a corner case down in Colorado Street here in Manhattan, Kansas. It was owned by the man that lived across the street from Annenberg Park, in that old house up there. And we used to watch him walk down the hill with his cane and get his mail and that sort of thing. And then when he died, the storekeeper or the person at the antique shop told my wife, said, "You know, that little bronze dog was in a box of stuff, just junk." And so I pulled it out and put it in that little case down there. And I know it's got some political ramifications, but I don't know what they are. And so anyway, I've got a Lattie Boy in my collection, one of a thousand. And so and there probably aren't near that many around today. Then whenever Harding died in 1923, due to unusual causes, he was on a trip across the United States. He ended up in California. And so the call went out to all the newspaper boys across the United States to contribute pennies to melt down to make another bronze statue, a life-size statue of Lattie Boy. So that Lattie Boy is actually in the Smithsonian at the Museum of American History. And so every time I go to Washington, D.C., I usually run by there just to see if they're taking good care of it. And but they had to give it to his widow because at the time that he died in 1923, she had him had an autopsy done on him immediately. And so there's a lot of controversy about why he died. They don't, you know, the autopsy apparently didn't show anything, but back then testing wasn't near what it is today. So there's a lot of questions about what he died of. And so, yeah, there's a dog in the Smithsonian, you know, that depicts Lattie Boy.
Wow, that's a neat story.
Yeah.
Well, I'm about out of time here. We'll wrap things up here with Dr. Elmore. Anything else before we roll
Well,
on?
You know, one other quick story. When Eisenhower was running for presidency, his vice president candidate was Richard Nixon. Mm-hmm. And so he had a secret slush fund, which amounted to $18,000, not very much by today's standards. And he said, there's one thing I'm not going to give back, and that is our little dog Checkers, because some Texans gave Tricia and her sister Julie a little dog named a black and white cocker spaniel named Checkers. And so that became known as the Checker speech, just like the Fallow speech became known as a Fallow speech. And so that probably saved his place on the ticket, actually. Eisenhower was being encouraged to dump him. And Mamie actually cried after she heard the speech. And she said, you've got to keep him on the ticket. And so then when he went ahead to become president, of course, and we all know what happened there. But anyway, yeah, that's another interesting story that involved a dog.
Wow. Well, this has been fun. Well, Dr. Elmore, thanks for coming by and sharing some of these wonderful stories.
Well, you're sure welcome.
Stay tuned. We'll have more in focus. We'll talk with the Flint Hills Veterans Coalition up next here on News Radio KMAN.